evening, everybody. It's nice to see you all here tonight. Isn't this a great way to end such a beautiful day, this day that the Lord gave us today, right? We say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? All right. Okay. New life in the power of the Holy Spirit. As Father Dale said, we've been hearing a lot about the wiles of the enemy and the way he wants to come at us, the way he does come at us. But we have the answer to that. We have the weapons, as we heard from Ephesians, the weapons of our warfare, the armor of God. But we have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So the Father wants all men and women to have new life and to have spiritual power. Spiritual power is important. It's important for us to live a life dedicated to Jesus Christ. It's important to live a life to serve other brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's important for us to have that, to build up the Lord's home, to build up the church. He sent his son Jesus into the world so that we could be given the source of new life. The source of new life would be the power of the Holy Spirit. Often in Christianity, when we come in contact with people and for ourselves, it is not really a spiritual experience. We're not spiritually alive. But today, God is renewing his church by a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And that's if you've never heard that story of how it all began back in the 70s, we're going to be talking about that on our retreat weekend, next weekend. It's really amazing how the Lord did it, how he did it not with the top echelon of the church, but how he did it with a group of people like you and like me who were gathered together to have a retreat and who felt like they needed more in their life and who felt like there was more, they didn't have it all, and they wanted to find out what that was. And so we'll be talking about that, because that was, in the Catholic Church, how we experienced this outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a much different way than many of us experienced it, say, through the Sacrament of Confirmation, in a way that brought it more alive to us. So when it's alive, it gives rise to people who are seeking spiritual life and power. And I think that's all. We wouldn't be here if we weren't seeking new life in our hearts and in our souls. If we weren't seeking power to live the kingdom living that the Lord wants for us, not just when we die and go to heaven, but right here and right now, we're to experience the kingdom of God. So in Acts 2:17-18, and if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to open your Bible to Acts 2. Acts 2, starting with verse 17, and it's the word says this: "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath." So we see in that scripture, and that's a great scripture to really meditate on, read about it, study it, because that's basically what we're talking about here. How the Lord wants it, how the Lord gives it, how he doesn't hold back his Holy Spirit from anybody who asks him for it and who wants it with a sincere heart. The Father sent his Son into the world to bring us new life and to bring us spiritual power. Jesus is Lord if we accept his Lordship. If we do, we can experience a new freedom in our life and a new life. I've shared the story many times how back in the 70s when I was at a meeting and the person doing a teaching drew a circle No, remember this, drew a circle on a board and said, who is in the center of your circle? The circle is your life. Who is in the center? And I thought I had the right answer. And my answer was my husband Herb and my sons Michael and Sean. Little did I know how wrong I was, because what I found out was that it should have been, and it came to be, that it's Jesus Christ. It should have been the cross in the center of my circle. But at that time, I had never heard that before. I thought I was where I should be, very active in the church, doing a lot of stuff in the church, you know, not really with spiritual power, but I thought that was as good as it gets. And I found out from a group of people who visited our church of St. Thomas More back in the 70s that there was so much more that the Lord had, so much more that the Lord wanted to give, so much more that speaks of this new life that we're talking about tonight, so much more of the power, the real power of the Holy Spirit, that we have the power to stand up against the enemy. We have the power through the Holy Spirit to stand up against them and win the battle. When the war is already won for us through Jesus Christ, we then have the power to win every battle that's brought into our life. Amen? All right. So, in Him, in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. So whatever it is you're carrying, whatever heaviness it is, whatever maybe things that you heard us talk about and say, well, gee, I was really involved in that, or I really believed in that, or whatever, whatever. The Lord says in 1 John 1:9, and please write this down, 1 John 1:9 tells us this. If you confess your sin, He, meaning Jesus Christ, is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now that's the promise of the Lord. So whatever it is, whatever you've done, no matter how bad you think it is, you know the Lord has already heard it before and He's already aware of it. So He is just asking us to come to Him, to confess to Him, and believe then, as we do, that He will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then as Catholics, when you have an opportunity to get the confession, that's also a way of receiving additional grace, an additional example and sampling of the Lord's love for you. Okay, now after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, He then sent the Holy Spirit to bring us new life and new power. Now that's found in Acts 1:1-5. So if we turn to Acts 1, okay. Scripture says this, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So we see the Lord's telling us that we have been baptized with water. He wants to baptize us, meaning to be baptized is to be immersed, to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And along with the Holy Spirit comes that vitality, that knowing, that new life, that power that we're talking about. So spiritual experience and spiritual power from the Holy Spirit is vital to us in our Christian life. The New Age movement offers spiritual experiences. We've heard about that over the past weeks, right? While Orthodox thinking is necessary for a vital Christian life, so too do we need spiritual experiences, being clothed with power from on high. Being clothed with power from on high. That is that fullness, being immersed in the Holy Spirit. That is, some, many call it being filled with the Spirit. Some call it being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter what you call it. It matters that we receive it. because there's nothing like it to draw us closer to Jesus. There's nothing like it to give us the power that we need to live the life we want to live, being closer to Jesus, knowing his voice, believing that we know it and hear it and will follow no other, being able to hear that in our prayer, being able to pray as he teaches us how to pray as we should. We want to be clothed. How many want to be clothed with power from on high? Let me see it. Amen. Okay. Most of us do. That's good. We'll catch the rest of you on our retreat weekend. Okay. When the Holy Spirit comes to someone, they become a changed person. And that is so true. That is so true. You can be, I know for my husband Herb and I, as I said, we were very involved in our parish, our kids, Mike and Sean went to school there. We did a lot of things, but we didn't have the spiritual power. We did a lot of things like, helping people, being on the parish council, being on the finance committee, delivering food to the poor, that type of thing. We didn't do things like witnessing to people about Jesus Christ. We didn't do things like talking about power from on high in the Holy Spirit. We didn't do things like really being able to hear the voice of the Lord in our quiet time when we prayed. We didn't do things like being able, as the scripture that I read you from Acts, to prophesy, to speak the word of the Lord when we're gathered in a Christian group. We didn't do things like that until in that circle, which was our life, we removed one another and placed Jesus there. Now you might think, as I thought, well, that's my vocation as a mother and a wife, and that's who's supposed to be there. That's what the Lord's calling me to, which is what I truly did believe. I really believed I was right. And after much discussion, I came to realize that I was very wrong, and that in putting Jesus in the center, along with his lordship and the power of his Holy Spirit, we become a much better mother, father, brother, sister. We become much better, fuller, have the power to live the way he's calling us to than we did before. So it really does. It really does. It just changes. It changes. I haven't known anybody who has really placed Jesus in the center of their life and been open to the power of the Holy Spirit, started yielding to the gifts, been part of a Christian community that gathered together to pray regularly, to just pray from their own hearts, that where their lives have not been changed. So I just, if you hear yourself through anything I've shared with you and where Herb and I were back in the 70s, then you really want to think about this, pray about this, read the scriptures about this, because we'll all have an opportunity to come there, go there, when we have our retreat next weekend. Okay? So we come to know God by experience. We come to know God as our Father who loves us and cares for us personally. It isn't like his way up there and I'm down here. That's how it used to be for me. I mean, I believed in him, and he was up there, and I was down here, and it was, I knew a lot about him, but didn't know him, just didn't know him, but just could tell you a lot of facts and figures, just like we can about a lot of people that we read about and so forth. We experience God's love and presence in a new way. That new way is a personal way, not just because I'm reading it in the Bible, not just because, Father said it in the homily, or not just because I heard it 12 years in Catholic school, but because I know it, because I experienced it. People can tell you things, and you can make a decision, well, I respect that person, and I believe that, but it's a whole different ballgame, brothers and sisters, when you experience it. Nobody can take away your experience. Nobody can tell you your experience is wrong, because your experience is yours. You own it. And the experience is what we're all looking for, that close encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, that close relationship, knowing his voice, hearing it, and following it. So this is like the new way that Jesus opens for us, you know, and through his lordship and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We come to know Jesus as our Lord. That simply means we do the things that Jesus did. Remember years ago it was going around WWJD, what would Jesus do? And if people had that on their wrists and so forth. Well, having Jesus as Lord, that's what we follow. What would Jesus do? How do we know what Jesus would do? We know it through his word. We know it through the scriptures. But as we make him Lord, we have a hunger for his word. It's amazing. It's like scriptures that you have heard all your life, all of a sudden, kind of like pop out of the page. All of a sudden become real to you. All of a sudden become the answer that you're looking for to whatever the problem is that you're dealing with in your life. These are all the changes that are present to us through the scriptures. But also I'm sharing with you my experience. I was where all of you are sitting back in the 70s. I can identify. I understand the feeling. And I understand sometimes the doubt, but I also understand the importance of making that step, of making that initial step to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins and become the Lord of my life, that first step. And then that second step where we get filled with the Holy Spirit and we are clothed with that power from on high. And then as Father Dale talked about, then we're clothed in the armor of God that protects us from all this stuff that we know the enemy brings into the world, but we have an answer to that. And we don't have to be afraid of that because we have the victory over that through the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to pray in a new way. Our prayer becomes more centered on God and less on ourselves. Now, I can remember, you know, the prayer was always like, kind of like one of those prayers, gimme, gimme, have you got? You know, like, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need you to help me with this and that. And I thought that was the way you prayed, you know. And, of course, all the prayers that I learned, the Our Father, Hail Mary, all the prayers that I learned in school, you know. I didn't really know how to talk to him like I'm talking to you, how to talk to him personally. Why didn't I know that? Because I didn't really know him. I just knew a lot about him. So if you find yourself there, if you hear people talking, you know, spontaneous prayer, talking to the Lord from their heart, and you think, how can they do that? Well, it's because they've given their hearts to the Lord. They've asked him to be the Lord of their life. And because then they've opened themselves to the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us then a power greater than our own. And also teaches us how to pray in a new way. Any of this that you want, the Lord wants to give it to you more than you even want it, because he wants you to be experiencing the kingdom of God, and he wants you to be fulfilled, and he wants you to be filled, and he wants you to be clothed with that power from on high, and he wants you to experience the joy of his Holy Spirit. So our prayer is more often than prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Thanking the Lord for what we've experienced, not so much always asking for this, that, and the other. Sure, we intercede. And sure, we bring before the Lord whatever worries or whatever needs we have. But most of all, we thank him. We thank him for this beautiful day. We thank him for giving us health to be here. We thank him for the people in our lives that we love and that love us. We thank him for revealing himself to us. And by bringing this knowledge to us that maybe for many years we didn't know. I know for many years I didn't know. And I'm so grateful to be living in a time where it is known. Grateful to be living in a time where our church has received it, accepted it, where our popes have given it, you know, their blessing, their writings, and where we then can share this and bring it to one another. We discover that we can pray in tongues. The gift of tongues is a means of spiritual growth. Prayer in the Spirit inspires us with a desire to praise God, to worship in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit inspires within us the ability to pray when oftentimes we don't know how to pray as we should. So by praying, you know, oftentimes when we're praying, you know, we're often thinking about what we're saying, of course. And people say, well, did you get a word from the Lord? Or did the Lord say anything? Did you hear anything? And you think, how can that be? What I have found is this. When I'm praying in English, I'm thinking about what I want to say to the Lord, you know, articulating my thoughts. When I pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't have to think about that. I don't have to be articulating my thoughts. I know in faith that that is, because the scriptures tell me so, that that is the perfect prayer of the Spirit. Pray through me, you know, through the Holy Spirit to God our Heavenly Father. So I don't have to be in the natural thinking about it. And then I find that I'm open. I can hear the Lord's still small voice in my heart, in my mind. I can hear him speaking to me. Now, is it an audible voice like you're hearing my voice? Of course it isn't. No. But it's that sense that you have. It's, if you've ever had this, like an intuitive sense that the Lord wants you to do such and such, or the Lord's saying such and such, it's that kind of a thing where you hear and you know, because you know, because you're working through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you realize that is the Lord speaking to me. So it's a wonderful gift. Also, when we don't know how to pray as we should, we have many things in life where we don't know what to ask for. We don't know what the right thing is. But we yield the smallest member of our body, which is our tongue, to the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And we pray that way. And we know in faith that that is the perfect prayer. When in the natural, we don't know what that is. Okay, I mentioned how the Bible comes to life. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit develops within us. Now, the fruit. It's like if you plant an apple tree, you expect apples to grow from that tree, don't you? So when you plant the Holy Spirit, when you invite the Holy Spirit into your heart, when you're willing to be immersed, filled, dumped, whatever you want to call it, with the Holy Spirit, the fruit that comes from that is found in Galatians 5:22. And so what happens to us is we become a more patient people. We become kind. There is a kindness that grows within us. There is goodness that is within us through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's a faithfulness to him, a faithfulness to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a gentleness that we see and experience within ourselves and within people that we are with, that are following along the same journey that we are on. And there is a self-control. Things that maybe you were not able to control, things that were maybe bad habits, things that were maybe even addictions, can be overcome. Now, I'm not saying just magically or alone, but with an extra dose, with a self-control beyond what we've ever had before, it leads us then to other people who have that same situation going on. In other words, what I'm saying is, we don't just say, well, we have all this and we don't have to do anything else. Let's say there is an addiction, maybe an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction. Okay, so having the Holy Spirit, we have more self-control than usual. Does that mean we don't go to meetings anymore? Of course it doesn't mean that. It means we do go and we share who our higher power is, and we share what our higher power has done for us. And we see that happening even more so through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can receive gifts of the Spirit that serve the Lord and serve the Lord's people. The gift of prophecy, where we feel like we hear what the Lord is saying and we share it with the people in our midst. Now, the gift of prophecy always, and we'll talk more about this, but it always works in coordination with the Word of Scripture. It never contradicts Scripture. Scripture is always our highest word. And then prophecy would certainly speak the word of Scripture, not verbatim, but in our own words and in the way that the Lord would be telling us. Healing. It also brings healing to us, where we are able to receive healing, but we're able to lay hands on the sick and believe in faith that they will recover. And we have the ability, and we have then, the Lord places in so many of us a passion and a hunger to do that, to do that. We want to see people healed. And when somebody around us is sick, we want to pray for them. And we want to see them made better. I experienced that myself over 30 years ago when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was prayed with. The doctors had said I had two suspicious lesions in my breast. I remember my son Sean was playing baseball for Calvert Hall. I had this appointment for a mammogram, my very first one. And then I was going to the game. And I was there and everybody else was leaving. And come to find out, two suspicious lesions. And I said, do you mean malignant? And she said, yes, you need to see a surgeon. And I was healed. I was healed by so many different people. I mean, whoever I would come in contact with, you know, I would tell them. And they would pray with me. I had people from, I didn't even know, praying. And praying different ways, ways that I had never been prayed with before. But I can tell you, prayer works. And I can tell you, I sit here, that was back in 76. 76, praise the Lord. So thank you, Jesus. So healing, praying for healing, it really is important. And it's important that we do that in our communities and in our churches and our parishes and so forth. Also, we receive a discernment of spirits, you know, that the sense of letting us know, just like some of the things that we talked about over these past weeks, what kind of spirit we're really dealing with, all of that. All of this is found in 1 Corinthians 12. So spiritual gifts are all part of the spiritual experience that I talked about. It provides a living contact with the risen Christ. The New Age movement offers many opportunities to seek divine revelation about our life situations. The spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit offer a means of divine revelation that flow from the risen Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want, isn't it? Amen? So we can discern the temptations of Satan more clearly, and we can resist him and sin no more successfully when we have that power, when we are clothed with power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit. Full life in the Spirit begins when we are baptized in the Spirit. When we are baptized in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes to us in such a way that we can experience his presence and see it change us. For many of us, this will not be our first reception of the Holy Spirit, but the release of the Spirit that is already within us. And this is speaking really for those of us who are confirmed and haven't experienced these things with talked about. So this brings then to life. It's like you have your iPhone and it hasn't been charged. So it's like you don't have it because it doesn't do anything because you have no life in it. It's not charged. It has no power. Right? We've all experienced that. Then what do we have to do? We have to plug that iPhone in, right? And get it charged up. So it does what it was created, what it was made to do. Same with us, right? We still had the phone, but it didn't have the power it was supposed to have. We have the Holy Spirit, those of us who have been confirmed, but we don't have the power that it's meant to give us until we take this next step and make Jesus the Lord of our life and ask him to fill us to overflowing with his Holy Spirit, or ignite within us that spirit that we already have. So different people see different changes happen to them as a result of being baptized in the Spirit. Those who have not been Christians will be given a full working of the Spirit. Those who have already experienced something of the Spirit's presence in their lives can receive anything that is lacking. Everyone can experience a new presence and working of the Spirit. Those who have been Christians will see that our years of Christian living have provided us with many resources that will be brought to life by the new presence of the Spirit in us. No Christian should lack contact with God or be powerless as a Christian. Everyone, even beginners in the Christian life, can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism in the Spirit is only the beginning of a new life. With the help of committed Christians, as our brothers and sisters, we all grow into spiritual maturity. We can develop a daily communication and friendship with Christ. We should develop that. And how do we develop that? By talking to Him. By prayer. Prayer is simply talking to the Lord. If you've never read anything on it, I know this has been mentioned before, there's a great book called Appointment with God. And it talks about developing a prayer life. And it was written by a priest, Father Michael Scanlon, who was very instrumental in forming the University of Steubenville, you know, as a place where people really not only receive their college education, but also receive a lot of the teachings and all that we're talking about here. But anyway, it's Appointment with God by Father Michael Scanlon. And it talks about, it's like making an appointment, like saying, I'm going to pray every morning at 7:30. And I'm going to do it in this room here. You pick a time that's convenient for you and that you know you can be faithful to. And you pick a place where hopefully you can speak out loud. So you're using your different senses of hearing, speaking. And you do that every day. And that's how we grow closer to the Lord. And that's how we develop this friendship. We can experience a new peace and joy and see ourselves being changed and being healed and becoming a loving people. We develop better relationships and closer relationships because we all are living for and with and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we recognize that in one another. And it's like you meet people that you may haven't known very well, but you feel as if you've known them because of that, because you share that same experience of the Lord. When Father Dale was talking about the armor of God, I thought about one thing that I had noticed a long time ago and had received a teaching on, was that all the different parts, you know, the head is covered, the breastplate is covered, the feet are covered, but the back wasn't covered. And the back isn't covered because the back is covered by our prayer for one another. The Lord uses our prayer in our Christian community or in our church or wherever it is you find yourself coming from, that as we pray for one another, that armor is then complete through our prayer of intercession, through your prayer for me and my prayer for you. When I studied that, I thought that was such a beautiful thing, you know, because even in all of that, the Lord wants us to be not only close to Him, but close to one another. He wants that culture developed where we talk about Him, where we help one another live with Him and through Him, where we talk about what the Holy Spirit can do, you know, and that brings us closer to Him and closer to one another, and the relationships that are formed. I just happened to think of this again, but in closing, back in the 70s, as I was saying, when my husband and I discovered this, and we started a prayer group at St. Thomas More and met every Wednesday night, and we would have a prayer meeting where we'd pray spontaneous prayer and prophecy and so forth, and there'd always be a teaching associated with that. A group of women, started going to Ocean City back in the late 70s for a weekend in October. And that weekend is still happening. And tomorrow morning, I leave and go with to Ocean City with these women, and this has been going on since the 70s, you know, to spend Friday through Monday in Ocean City. And we have a lot of time to pray together. We take some really cool Christian music We also take some teachings on DVDs and watch those. We had a lot of fun. I remember the one year when the electric slide came out. Y'all remember the electric slide? I remember we all got out in the street where we were staying, played the electric slide, and danced back and forth. I mean, you know, Christianity and living like this is fun. It's really a lot of fun. But I share it because look at this these relationships back in the 70s, and we're still going on, and we're still living it out, and it starts tomorrow morning. So, and that's what we want, right? We want to be able to say that about one another. We want to form that. We want to grow close together and share Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but also, you know, share life and have fun with one another, but be there with one another when we need that prayer that only Jesus and the Holy Spirit can touch us with. Amen? So this has been a lot of fun for me. I hope you enjoyed it. Looking forward to seeing you all next week on our retreat. Think about this. Pray about it. As Father Dale said, we'll have a lot of time to pray on that weekend. Thank you so much for your attention, and be safe going home.
We'll take some time for discussion, questions. So if you look on questions for reflection, we'll take about 15, 20 minutes in your small group. And you can also look at whatever is important to you in that you heard tonight that really struck your heart and mind. You can share that. So we'll take about 15, 20 minutes for discussion.